The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Radiate Wellness Podcast with your host, metaphysician, Reiki master, and hypnotherapist, Christy Clemens Hoffman. Each week, we will discover teachings, tips, and tools to radiate your best life ever with practitioners, authors, and luminaries to help you on your path. Wellness, joy, peace, abundance. What do you want to radiate?
Hello and welcome back to the Radiate Wellness Podcast, where today we radiate joy with fellow level 3 QHHT practitioner and my good friend now, Corinne Puget. Hello.
Hi. So glad to be here.
I'm so happy that this worked out. We tried for a long time to get this to work.
Exactly.
Now, as you can tell, we're not in my office. So we're in Paris. Actually, Paris.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so fantastic to be here. And this building is really, really old. This is part of the area, the area of the city where there's a lot of energy from the past.
Yeah. You were saying that it is medieval, this part of town.
Yes. The center of Paris, there are still areas where really the buildings, the architecture lasts from the medieval time when the other part of Paris has been changed a couple centuries ago. But here it's really like it was like, I don't know, 500-600 years ago.
Yeah, 1400-1500.
Yes.
Yeah.
Long time.
And we could practically throw a rock and hit Notre Dame.
Yes, exactly. It's right across the street and you get to see the new La Flèche.
Yes, the spire.
Yes, it was just revealed not too long ago and it's so beautiful. Yeah.
When did it burn?
Ooh, I think it was right before COVID. I think 2019 or something like that. I forgot. Yeah, I was here. I remember I was here. We saw the smoke and everything. Mm. And yeah, it's symbolic because it's nothing else than symbolic. But you can tell that the vibration, the symbols and everything moves everyone. Everybody was so moved. And I'm like, oh, okay. So everybody in the end believe in those invisible things, don't they? So I'm like, yes, there is something.
You know, in the United States, we watched it on TV and everybody was talking about it. It was all over social media. It was just a tragedy, but it pulled people together.
Yes.
So full disclosure, this is my hotel. We've tried to find a good place to do this. So please forgive the ambient noise. There's some work going on. So we're going to do what we can do. But Corinne, I wanted to talk to you today about your journey to QHHT. You took a circuitous route through life.
Yes. So to try to make a long story short, when I was 17, I was assaulted, but that's not the point. The point is that I had like a near-death experience. Mm-hmm. And so I went out of my body. I saw the tunnel. I saw the light and I felt the love. And at that time, there was no internet. I didn't know no book about it. I had no clue what just happened to me. And I was trying to look for healers to heal me, because when I came back, I was like, people were talking to me about competition, about making more money than my neighbor, about having better looking than my other. And I was like, we are one. We are one. What are you talking about? So I was a little bit distracted with that feeling of universal love, amazing love that I could not implement in my everyday life. Anyway, I was trained as a software engineer in France and in the United States. Then I went all the way to Hawaii and there I could feel all the energies and the vibration. But I knew there was something. Anyway, I became an actress. I became a playwright. I became all this thing.
But you're glossing over this, honey.
Yeah, because I mean, the story, I guess. Okay.
So you went from software engineer to actress and filmmaker, might I add.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Well, it's funny because I guess my parents taught me to listen to my wishes to be a free spirit in a way. I was raised without TV. Yeah, my parents chose not to have a TV set at home. Mm-hmm. That was a choice. So I had no TV. So I had no fear. I was not raised with the news, you know, the fear that, oh, there's a war here and people are dangerous and this. No, I was, there was no fear. I was raised like, you know, I was kind of in the country in south of France near Marseille, and I was working with horses. I was raising horses in the Alps, and we would walk and to go to the beach and be in the nature. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Yeah, I guess they taught us to be like free, to follow our dreams, mm-hmm. follow our dreams. Mm-hmm. So when I started to be a software engineer in Paris, when I came back from Hawaii, after one day of work, I thought to myself, okay, I hate everything in my life.
What have I done?
My very sweet coworkers, but I could not relate whatsoever with them. I hated the clothes I had to wear. I hated my schedule, my office, my clients. I mean, it didn't mean nothing to me. So I was like, okay. And I had a student loan that I had to pay back to the bank. So I had to work. And I was like, okay, this is tricky. So this is going to be all the way like this until I'm retired. Okay. So I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to end my life. I have to end the life. Mm. So before I did anything that you cannot come
can't take back,
that you cannot take back, I thought I might as well do something I like. And I wanted to act and dance. This is what I wanted to do. So I thought, might as well try it, because anyway, everything is lost. And so let's.
Now, had you done much acting and dancing before?
I had done dancing all my life since I was 4 years old. Mm. And this was really the thing. And acting a little bit. And the funny thing is, so I was 24 years old. I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to be an actress. So I'm going to have a lot of money and plenty of free time. What happened in my mind? I don't know. But this is what I thought. And I said, and in that free time, I will train myself to be a dancer. Now, the story is, it took 20 years. So when I was 50 years old and I was...
Wait. How old are you?
I'm 56.
Oh my God. I never would have guessed it, honey. Okay, go ahead.
So I became an actress and I directed a feature film. I wrote plays. I mean, I did all these things. But when I was 50 years old, I became director for the musical Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And I was acting in it and I was assistant to the director, but I was really the director because he's crazy, but that's another story. Anyway, so I did all that and I danced on stage. And because I had a character, I was in the front row, center front row with all the dancers behind me in a huge theater in Paris. So here I am. Finally, I was a dancer, you know?
Bucket list.
Yeah. So it didn't go exactly the way I thought it would go. But finally, I was there on stage and I was, this is so funny. Life is unbelievable because this was my target, to dance on stage with the crew, with all the dancers and the actors and the energy on this show is just amazing.
Love that show.
It's fantastic. This show is unbelievable. It's a very
about deep... people following their dreams.
Exactly. And be who they are, whether they're different from average, whether they don't look like the average, doesn't matter. And their epiphany, the way they change themselves as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And they open the house.
Here's another theme, I think, is that, you know, there's a scene where the bus gets painted with some slurs and they realize that the city protects us, that they're still marginalized. And so there's that theme that runs through it. I don't know why I digress, but I just think that's important to mention too.
Yes. Oh, of course. Yeah. They go through very rough times, but they follow their heart. They follow their intuition. They follow their quest for beauty, for fun, for singing, for being silly, for being
outrageous,
for being feminine.
Yeah.
This is, and on that show, there were a lot of gay dancers and stuff. They taught me how to be a woman. They taught me how to embrace my feminine part, how to be both strong and the makeup, the clothes, the feminine part. That was amazing. What was going on backstage was really unbelievable. Unbelievable. The power of the feminine energy on this show is wild. And even the stage managers and all the crew, the people who work on this theater, they're used to having shows all the time. This show changes them because it brings the feminine energy, but with the power of men, because the gay dancers, they are men. They are very much gay. That's for sure.
So they've got the power of that masculine form.
Yes. And they were born masculine. So they were told you have the right to do anything you want in life when they were little boys. After that, it got tricky for them because it's very difficult when they were a child. But still, society teach them you have the right to achieve things because you're a man. And the combination of these two things, it's dope.
It's like, dope. Like my t-shirt. That is dope. So yeah, the show has it all. It's got the power of the masculine and the feminine. Yeah. I love this story.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So how did you get from this career in theater, just living your dream, creating this life that you really, really wanted to QHHT?
I don't want to take too much of your time, but I would like to ask you a few simple favors. First of all, please rate, review, and share this podcast wherever you're listening. You know, it sounds like a simple little thing, and it is, but it has a huge impact for us because it helps other people find us in the podcasting algorithms. I don't know how it works, but I do know that it helps a lot. Next, if you would subscribe or follow wherever you're listening, whether that's YouTube or Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora, Spotify, wherever you're listening, just hit subscribe or follow, and that helps you and it helps us. It helps you because then you receive notifications when we have a new episode that's out. It helps us because, again, algorithm magic, I don't know what happens, but it helps. And then finally, you can support our podcast in a tangible way by going to radiatewellnesscommunity.com/podcast and then click on support the show. Now, we have a new feature too. We are now on Patreon. You can find us on Patreon. You can also find the link to Patreon when you go to radiatewellnesscommunity.com/podcast. So on Patreon, for $3 a month or $5 a month, you can support your metaphysical and spiritual growth. You can learn about upcoming guests, and you can get early and ad-free versions of the shows. So please support us. This podcast is free for you to listen, but we have costs, and quite frankly, they come out of my pocket. So if you like this content, if you get a lot out of it, please see what you can do to give back. Thank you so much.
Okay, that's a very good question. If we come back, when I was 17, I had this near-death experience where I experienced ultimate love, universal love, fantastic. And all through my life, I was looking for, what do I do with that? Because I felt really different from the average people because I could feel that. And even in that show where I was so happy on that show, there was still competition. There was still some jealousies. The director was insane. I mean, it was not easy every day.
Theater people.
Well, no, I don't like to say that. So I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like that, except theater people. They show it when other people repress it.
Yes.
So I think at least we're talking about the real thing with theater
real
people.
Real people, yes.
Yes. They show their every aspect. Anyway, this is another story. So I could feel I was lacking. What do I do with that gift that I received? So one day I talked to my guides and I said, guys, you've been fantastic. Thank you so much. I've had everything that I wished for. I was acting, dancing, writing, directing, everything I wished for I had. So thank you so much. But still, I'm not there yet. There's something missing. So I said, I promise I'm going to be a good girl. And ever since to that day, I'm following that promise. I promise I'm going to be a good girl. You're going to show me the way. And I promise I will not complain and say, yeah, but I want to act. I want to be on stage. I want to do this. I want to go there. No, no, no. I will follow exactly the way you're going to show me. 2 weeks later, a friend of mine sends me an email out of the blue and say, oh, you should read that book, Three Waves of Volunteer.
That's the one you started with? That's a good one to start.
By Dolores Cannon. And I was like, okay. So I bought the book. I read the book and I'm like, this is my family. This is my people. This is Doris. Where were you all that time? I was looking for you all that time. I booked a flight and I registered to level one in Florida from France. 1 week later.
Did you really?
Yes. I had no, just
you
my
hadn't
booked
even
everything.
Had a session
no,
yet.
No, no. I just booked everything, the hotel, the plane ticket, the registration to the level one class, everything. Before I left, I thought to myself, I should do a QHHT session. So I found a practitioner in Paris and I did a session in Paris before I went to Florida. But I was gone. There was a part of myself which was saying, what on earth are you doing? Where are we going now? Okay, now we're going to Florida to do hypnosis. Okay, right, great. Okay, what's next? And the other part was like, shh, we need to go there. Don't worry. We need to go there.
You got there. Yes, let's go.
So here you were having this quarter-life crisis going, what the hell am I doing? Booked this insane trip on a, not a whim. It wasn't a whim, was it?
What is a whim?
A whim is like you get this, it is fall.
No. It made sense. I had been looking for that all my life. So I was like, yes, I found the answer that I was looking for. I mean, at this point, I had been a software engineer. I had been an actress. I had tried many things and I knew myself in how I was reacting in those things. And I knew I was not crazy. I knew I had to go.
You know, I think when we find QHHT, you just know.
Yes.
Right. And I found it, gosh, 2009. But I always knew. And then like 2016, I realized, you know what? I could do that. But I always knew and believed in it so strongly. But then when the call came and everything just opened up to do it, I haven't looked back. Right? Yes. It was the same for you?
Yes. Oh, exactly.
Back.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it went super fast. In my case, it went super fast. I remember I was doing level one in Orlando and we have one day where we do QHHT session.
Mm-hmm.
So we were a group of three and one is doing the client, one is doing the practitioner, and one is doing the observer to help the new practitioner. That very first day, I did two sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy we were working with said, oh, I'm sorry, I have an appointment this afternoon, a call that I have to make, so I cannot do the session. Ooh. So you're going to do the session. So I facilitated a session, 5-hour session in the morning, and then a 5-hour session in the afternoon. First day I did one, I did two. And I knew that day there was a reason for that. They were showing me, honey, you're good at it. You're going to do it. You're going to be okay. I knew they were telling me, look, you can do one. You can even do two, which I don't nowadays because there's no reason for it. But
I've done it maybe a handful of times.
Yes,
it's
exhausting. Yeah, it is exhausting. And I did two that day. And I was like, this is my call. I knew from the beginning. I knew.
You know, and I've got a background in theater as well, dance and singing and musicals and movies, actually, too. And I think it does help in this.
I didn't know you were doing all that. You had done all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fantastic. Look at us.
A friend of mine said I have a Swiss Army life.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah. That's it.
And it does help.
Yeah.
I think it does because it's the improvisation piece.
Exactly.
Right? You've got to think very quickly on your feet.
And you have to be present.
You have to
listen. Listen mm-hmm. and don't try to control, but just go with the flow. Go with whatever your partner is giving you that night. Yeah.
Yes, and as we say in improvisation.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's it. Accept mm-hmm. whatever happened mm-hmm. and go with it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is what we do in QHHT sessions, because really, I think the only thing we need to learn is to accept the things we hear during the sessions.
Absolutely. Don't question. Oh, some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I've seen my very first session. Woman was a fairy in her life. And I've seen several fairies since, seen mermaids several times, dragons, lifetimes as rocks, as clouds, as trees, as leaves on trees. Crazy stuff.
As light beam.
Oh, yeah.
I was myself a bird at the dinosaur time.
Oh, my gosh. That must have been great.
That was amazing. And the funny thing is, like, that was that day when we were doing the training. Is like, look at your feet. And I really saw, you know, the bird.
Yeah.
I'm like, uh-oh, somebody's a bird here. And I couldn't believe it. And I could feel I was a male bird, very strong, very big. And I had a female bird with me. And we were a team like this. And so many things happened to me in that bird life. And the funny thing is, after the session, that man who was doing the session for me, he said, how was it flying? And I was like, I was a bird. I was flying. I mean, this
right.
was nothing.
Ask a fish what water is like.
I was like, flying is flying. Nothing particular about that. And I remember we looked down at the dinosaurs. We the birds, we thought the dinosaurs were the most stupid life being on earth.
Dummies.
We're like, dinosaurs? Forget it.
Don't get me started on those guys. You know, I actually had a client one time. We went to visit one of his guides, a star being, and I started asking about all of these different races of ETs and then about Pleiadians. And she says, Pleiadians, don't get me started. You can't make this stuff up.
I know.
It's hilarious.
I know.
So you've had some really remarkable sessions. Are there any that stick out in your mind?
Well, now I'm thinking, for example, that day when we were doing sessions, there was this lady, she was Russian. In the real life, she was Russian. Mm-hmm. She was living in the States and she had a past life as a Native Indian American.
Mm-hmm.
And so at one point, she was talking about kids in the tribe. So I said, do you have kids? And she was like, there are kids. They are our kids. Like the idea of having your own kids.
Foreign.
Yeah.
Concept.
Yeah. It was really a foreign concept. Like my kid, I could tell the question was like, we have kids. There are kids in the tribe. In this lifetime, she had two kids and they were her kids.
Oh, yeah.
Very much her kids. But in this lifetime, she was like, yeah, we have kids. They are the tribe kids. That was fantastic. And the story was really fantastic. And I had so many interesting stories. It's funny. Once I had a man who came to me and he said to me during the interview, I think maybe I'm a pedophile. And I was like, okay.
Right?
Okay.
No judgment.
Okay. And he was very embarrassed. Now, while he goes under, and then he told me that his family's any emotion is suppressed. And this one, he knew he was gay, but he had no boyfriend. He was still living with his parents.
Mm.
There were three brothers. They were like, I don't know, 28, 29, 30. They were still living with the parents. Mm. No emotion. Everything was suppressed.
Everything's blocked.
Yes. So eventually he found out that he was working with kids. And one day he grabbed a kid and he had him on his lap.
That's neat.
But because his body does not touch no human body ever, because it does suppress everything. When this kid was there on his knee, he had a reaction in his body and that created the feeling that, oh my God, am I a pedophile? And the SC was like, you are not a pedophile whatsoever.
Honey, please.
Yeah, he was like, you are not attracted to kids whatsoever. And then he said to me, the SC was telling me, you know, he hasn't told you everything. Now I can tell you, he's attracted to men, this he knows, but he's attracted to very handsome men, adult men. Don't worry about kids. You're fine. You are fine. This man, after the session, his face, the smile on his face, the relief he got from that session, because he got the message from his own SC that told him, don't worry, honey, you are fine. You are fine. The relief on his face.
You're going to make me cry, babe.
Yes, yes. And the SC said, you got to move out of your parents' house. You got to find your own place, find your beautiful boyfriend you're looking for and that you will find, and you're going to be happy. You're going to be fine.
Ooh.
That was amazing. Yeah. This man.
Did he follow up with you ever?
No, you know.
We don't always follow up.
Yes, yes. So yeah. I don't know, but I'm sure he is having a beautiful life.
When you hear it from your own soul. That is amazing.
I had another man who came to me and he has a
diabetes. Mm-hmm.
And this man was fantastic, very smart and a little bit rock and roll attitude, you know. And he was like traveling all over the world, living in this country, that country, another country, doing this job, another job, find a girlfriend when he was 18 and then they broke up in another country. But then they found themselves again at 40 years old and finally they're soulmates. And I mean, okay, beautiful life. But he's telling me, yeah, I eat sugar, I drink alcohol, I smoke cigarettes. I don't give a fuck. Sorry. I don't give a damn. Okay. Now, past life. Oh, my God. That was so moving. Past life. What we call past life, but right. It's not always a past life. Okay.
Yeah. It's a problematic term, but it's a shorthand.
Yes. So he sees an eye that looks at him. Does it ring a bell? I'm sure you've had that.
Eyes are a thing.
Yes.
To see an eyeball in a QHHT session is not unheard of.
Exactly.
Okay.
So to see that eye that looks at him in a very unhappy way, you know, mm-hmm. like a bit
judgmental.
So then I go to the SC and I ask, what was the eye about? So the SC says, this is God watching him. And so I said, how come it looked like God was not happy with him? And he said, because God loves him immensely. Loves him in a tremendous way, but he sees that himself is not loving himself.
Oh my God.
And not taking care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And if he keeps on doing what he's doing with the sugar and everything, he's going to die. And God loves him so much that he wants himself to love himself the way God loves him. And the man was crying and crying and crying. And So he got the message that he really have to take care of himself. He was crying. After the session, I said, I think you got the message.
You think?
And he said, I've got the message very, because on the session, it kept coming back. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Take care of your life. Bless your life. Respect your life. And that man was like, I got my message. And it didn't come from doctors. I mean, it's okay. Doctors do great jobs.
Right.
But it didn't come from, you should not eat sugar. Because for him, it did not relate to that. But seeing that eye of God loving him so much, he felt the love. And he was like, oh God, I cannot go against that love. And I'm sure he's fine now. I'm sure he's taking care of himself. That was fantastic.
That is fantastic. You know, that's one of my favorite things to do with clients is when they're with. Now, I should say for those of you who are listening who are not familiar with QHH terms, the SC stands for the subconscious, which is not an accurate term, but it's what Dolores Cannon had used for the consciousness that's just behind our waking consciousness. So one of my favorite things to do with clients is to let them feel and ask the SC to show them, just like, can you flood that universal love into them? And it's life-changing.
It is, because they feel it from inside. They feel it. And
as God sees them, as their higher self sees them, whatever you want to call God, it's okay.
Energy, God, universe, you can call it whatever you want. But when you feel it, you feel it. I mean, it's life-changing, because then they know how many times you are not alone. We are watching you. We're with you. You can ask for help. Anytime, we are there for you. You are beautiful. You are perfect the way you are. How many times? And people crying out of love, out of all the love they're receiving. It's just fantastic.
I actually had a client one time where she asked me to bring her out because it was too much. Now, normally we don't do that. I tried to get her back into it and she was not having it. It was too much. I brought her back for a second session, but it's overwhelming when you're not used to God or whatever we want to call it, loving you. And I know you grew up in a non-religious household. I mean,
exactly. Right? My father, I still don't know what happened with him when he was a kid with priests, but what I know is that he's very, very much upset at priests. He does not want to hear about church. Basically, parents told us, don't go into churches, don't go into those places. So really, we were raised like with no religious background whatsoever. And now I love churches. I'm in any kind of buildings like this. I just love because the energy is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I did my own journey. I did my own research. And I'm still not following any religious dogma, at least dogma. To tell you the truth, I'm practicing Buddhism, which I think is very much like all my path. That is to say, it's your inner revolution. You do your inner revolution to bring peace and love to the world by bringing peace to your own heart. This is what we're doing.
This is another thing that I think is important to mention, is that when we create that change within ourselves and that healing within ourselves, it does radiate, pardon the pun, this is the Radiate Wellness Podcast, but it radiates out to everybody. It has that ripple effect.
Exactly.
When you heal one, or you help them heal themselves.
Yes.
It heals their whole community.
Yes. I think I have a lot of clients. I don't know if you have patterns in the client received, but now I can tell I have a lot of clients who I know are going to be healer, not necessarily in an office, but they're going to be healer. Like I have had ladies, fantastic ladies, that all people are fantastic anyway. But this lady, she works for the Atomic Association Worldwide. She's French, but she works for, what is it called? All the atomic energy in the world. And so she's very, very important. And inside her heart, she's working for the world happiness. And she's like undercover in that field.
She's in a great place for that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have a lot of clients who work in a very
straight laced.
Yes.
3D world.
Yes. 3D world. Exactly. But they are themselves very much 5D, and they go there and they're very brave and courageous, and they go there and they change these people. They change the industry. They change everything.
They change the culture, the energy of it, everything.
Yes. And so many people are ready to follow their heart and open their heart now. It's unbelievable. I had a man who he's the CEO of a company. He has 35,000 employees.
Oh my goodness.
He flew in the morning to have a session, flew back to South of France to go home. And this man, he's going to change a lot of things because he's so open-minded and really wishes the best for his employees. And he has a lot of money, a lot of power, and he's going to change many things. Yeah, I have a lot of clients like that.
And even if they only change themselves, that's quite a lot.
Exactly.
Quite a lot.
Yes.
Well, we could sit here and talk about this literally all day.
Yes.
Okay. But I know you've got a client to get to.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes, you do. Where can people find out more about you, your work, and maybe schedule a session when they're in Paris?
Exactly. So my website where you can find me is called, so it's French name. So let me say it in French first. It's called annuairetherapeute.com. annuairetherapeute.com. So annuairetherapeute.com.
Et qu'est-ce que ça veut dire annuaire?
Annuaire is the yellow pages.
Oh, yeah, right.
So for practitioners, yellowpages.com. Basically, that's what it means. Mm-hmm. And then you enter my last name, Puget, P-U-G-E-T, and you find me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Is this practitioners of QHHT across France?
It's not any kind of practitioner. Yeah, any kind of hypnosis, kinesio, chiropractor, I mean, any kind of practitioner.
Well, we can also go to QHHTofficial.com.
Of course. Thank you.
And find any practitioner in the world.
Exactly.
Look for Corinne Puget, P-U-G-E-T.
Yes.
Right?
You will find me in France. So far, I'm the only one level three, but I hope there will be more coming soon. Mm-hmm. And I'm in Paris. And
you practice in French and English, right?
Right. Yes.
This is unique.
Yes.
You know, I hope to practice in French one day. I've got the script. I just haven't had the occasion to do it.
Go for it, my dear. Right. Go for it. Yeah.
And I've coached level 2 clients or level 2 practitioners in their voices.
Yes.
And using that script as well as Russian and
me too.
Hindu and all kinds of different
Arabic.
Languages. We don't have to know the language.
Serbian. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic too. And being an actress helps a lot.
I think it does.
The voice. Yeah.
Vocal training.
Of course, yes, vocal training.
Well, Corinne, it has been such a joy.
Thank you so much. This is fantastic. And thank you, everyone. Thank you for watching this. Yeah, thank you.
Radiate Wellness is an international community of holistic and alternative healers, dedicated to helping you create spiritual, energetic, and physical well-being. To learn more about our practitioners, services, classes, and events, or to schedule an appointment, visit us at radiatewellnesscommunity.com.
We talk to the animals, and we know you can too. On the Animal Communication Podcast, hosted by the three of us, myself, Julie Hiert,
Karen Dudley Smith,
and Meredith Tollison,
we will show you how to deepen your relationship with your beloved animal companions, whether they're alive or in spirit.
As soul-level animal communicators, we explain the process and explore topics such as health, behavior, and play, all from the animal's perspective.
So subscribe and follow us on Apple, Spotify, and listen as part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.